Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Max, I have terrible news. I didn't wear a Hawaiian on Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
I forgot about it. I'm never here on Wednesday. I would have done it.
So we've got to go make a huge store delivery for HTO right after I get off the air. And I did not think about it. Wore a shirt for that. Oh, my God. It's going to be a terrible day. You know, it's going to be a terrible day. Well, happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday for all those who celebrate. Boy, I'm glad Tommy's not here to rub that in. I'll tell you that. It's Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland on Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you on this Wednesday as we get ready for an NBA draft tonight. Anybody realize the NBA draft is tonight?
Learned last night.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Like, what a weird year, right? Like, and the NBA draft has lost its luster a little bit because we don't know all the players like we used to. But it's Mavs, Spurs with the top two picks. Cooper Flagg's going to be a Maverick. And then it's all bets are off, I think. I think everybody's just sort of guessing at, you know, what might happen in that second spot. So that's tonight. We'll kind of look at that a little bit. Not a whole lot, because I don't think either one of us are locked into that too much. But we'll take a browse of it. Maybe we'll talk to Shreyas Lada about it, who's a huge basketball guy. And who is our KU insider. We'll kind of get his take on it a little bit, perhaps later. But that's coming for you tonight. We've also got the Royals, who fell pretty flat in the opener last night. Taj Bradley was really good against them. We'll get into that game as well. We'll start to talk a little bit. I want to kind of take a look here over the next few days at what we think about the teams around the Chiefs. I think we've established through this offseason that we all feel like the Chiefs got at least a little bit better or the same. So what did everybody else do around them of the major contenders? So I want to look at that a little bit as well. We've got all of it coming for you. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, locations east, west, historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Getting back to the early morning grind. it's been 5 days since I was on the radio last, so it doesn't get easier, but I'm here.
Yeah, it's not earlier than last week.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
I think it was a longer drive to get to Crestview than it was here, so.
Yeah. No. Well, here we are. We're here with you in the morning. The Royals lose the opener 5-1 to the Rays. We'll spend time with that today. I mentioned Shreya Slada. KU makes a big addition yesterday. They get a reclassed player. I don't know how much you're locked into the KU roster movements, but it's been a minute. We've been wondering how long it was going to take. What were they going to do? What's been happening? Why is this taking so long? But it's Cole Rosario who is reclassifying. I believe he's a top 30 player next year. He becomes a top 75 player this year. And even though it might not seem like he fits a position of need at shooting guard, Shreyas, our KU insider that's joining us later, has been telling us they've been looking for a shooting guard for a while. And so clearly this was a desire. It adds to an already really young roster for KU, but they go and they get a piece.
Yeah, it's huge. You know, I think it is the fact that there hasn't been anything that's happened. And, you know, we've talked a lot about that they've kind of just bottomed out. They've missed the last four guys that they've reported to be linked up to. And so I think the fact that they just land a guy, a four-star prospect at that, you know, this is a move that whenever I saw it on the surface, it feels like the old Bill Self recruiting days. Whenever he would do this. This was before the transfer portal. This was the kind of guy that Bill Self would go get. And so I'm really excited for this next season just for the fact of, like, everything that's happened the past couple of years are just out the window. Basically all of those guys are gone except for, you know, Florida Badunga and you know, a couple of those guys. But it's going to be new look. It's going to be a lot new personnel. And I think that Cole Rosario is going to fit really well into what they're doing, even if he's a guy that just comes off the bench and is a 3-and-D guy, because he's got length, he can shoot it. And you know, from what I've seen from him on Twitter, you know, he's a 3-and-D guy. You know, he seems a lot like a Svi Mykhailiuk type of player, maybe taller than Svi. But I think he's going to fit in well.
Yeah, it is going to be... It's fine. The fit is he's going to be a freshman. He's going to be a young freshman.
He'll play.
And they're already leaning on essentially all young players next year. I don't know how that's going to work. Has Bill Self ever had a team like that? Where
probably,
there's just not
probably
really
the Wiggins
any?
Year. Yeah. Probably
yeah,
the
but
Wiggins
that was year. Just – it was – the young guys were the stars, but there were still lots of old guys – on that team.
Not a ton of them. I mean, that was that class was Frank Mason, Kelly Oubre, Andrew Wiggins, Joel Embiid. Like, those were all freshmen.
And they were all playing as freshmen?
Mm-hmm. Frank wasn't playing as much, but, I mean, Wiggins, Oubre, and Embiid were all big parts.
It's going to be...
Connor Frankamp, sorry for forgetting Connor on that list.
He was in that class?
I think so.
That was right before... I think it was right before I got here. Man, I don't know what to make of it. It obviously has not worked with the older guys, so I'm not like opposed to it.
Exactly.
It's just new. And does it make much of a difference if they're all new transfers or if they're all, you know, young new guys? Probably not that much of a difference. I mean, it makes some difference, but some of those transfer guys weren't fits either. And so, you know, we'll see. Darren Peterson's supposed to be that dude. And you know, we love Flory Badunga, but we love the upside of Flory Badunga as much as, like, we realize there were a lot of inconsistencies in his game. It'll be an interesting year. I'm excited for it. I'm not, like, you know, it's not like none of this is doom and gloom for them. Like, it's going to be interesting. And they still need another couple of players pretty badly, I think. At least a backup big, if not, you know, probably two of those guys. And they'll find them. But maybe that's where some experience comes. Maybe you can go find just the absolute best, you know, attitude, hardworking, whatever, tone setters who probably won't even play that much. Yeah. But Flory Badunga is going to need somebody to come in. Like, they're going to need a big that can give them minutes. Because Badunga is going to find himself in foul trouble at minimum.
That's the thing is that, you know, whatever they're going to get at this point, like, I think that they've got a starting five set. I'm sure if they went out and got a nice transfer, he could slide himself in there. But at this point, I think you have a starting five that you can roll out and be successful in the Big 12 with what you have. So I think that everybody that you're going to go get at this point, I don't see them making a huge splash at what's left in the transfer portal or, you know, the high school scene. Everybody's recruited at this point except for the guys that are reclassifying down, I guess. But I think that they've got a starting five set. I think that they will go out and get some transfers to fill out the roster, give a little bit more depth. So, you know, Corbin Allen that came from Kansas City is not going to be having to play big minutes in his true freshman year at KU. So I expect something like that. But again, it's not going to be a – it's probably going to be a mid-major guy that wants to make the jump up, something like that. I don't think they can go out and make a huge splash at this point. And I'm okay with that. I think that the philosophy that's going on this season – is the fact of them realizing, like, revenue sharing's here, for one. We're putting a large investment into Darren Peterson and Florey Badunga, and we'd rather invest in that rather than go get XYZ out of the transfer portal. And I like that recipe.
Yeah, we let's talk about that, because we can talk about it on the other side. I don't know. I think it's all more coincidental. Maybe it's not. Like, the design of this and all the changes that are coming. So we can get into that. We got lots coming up. We'll give away some Crestview golf. Stay tuned for your opportunity to win that throughout the show. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up early in the morning on a midweek edition of Sports Daily. We'll come back. Don't go away.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, and
sad that I'm the only one with an Hawaiian shirt.
What's that, Max?
Sad that I'm the only one with a Hawaiian shirt.
You have a Hawaiian, not even just a tie-dye?
No, it's a Kamakona's shrimp truck.
It's your shrimp truck shirt? Max, I need a couple of things, and I even have a reminder in my phone. I need you, A, to text me in the mornings on Wednesdays and remind me, but B, make me tell my wife no work on Wednesdays. That defeats the whole purpose of a Hawaiian shirt lounge it back Wednesday. She's got me running around all over town as soon as we get off the air. Maybe I should just make the HTO delivery in a Hawaiian. Maybe I should just do that.
It's not illegal.
I don't know what's holding you back from that.
Yeah. You're
supposed to drink tea, be happy.
That's right. That's right. What a disappointing start there. Maybe I'll just put one on anyway during the next break. Maybe I'll just go do whatever. We'll get it celebrated on
Female fans demand you change on YouTube Live.
Yeah. You can watch us, by the way, on YouTube, Facebook, X, 12 News Connected. If you want to see, if you're listening to us on the radio, just pretend I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt for this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And just celebrate that way. Anyway, we'll give away some Crestview Golf a little bit later in the show. We'll give away some HTO later in the show. That's all coming for you. We'll have Sharia Slada in. Let's talk about KU basketball for a second, though, TJ. You brought up an interesting theory on KU. Do they just want to invest more in the young players and less in the portal? I don't think that I buy that. But I want to hear your theory on it. Why do you think they would change that philosophy?
I think that they've learned over the last couple of years of, you know, since the transfer portal's become so relevant, KU's been in the mix for every top 10 prospect that's been in the transfer portal, basically. And they've landed like, you know, Hunter Dickinson, Nick Timberlake, Kevin McCullough. You think about all these guys that they got. And, you know, it hasn't been the success that KU's used to. I think that there's a part of it. They really haven't gotten a blue chip freshman since, I mean, Florey was a five star. I'm not going to get that wrong. But, you know, outside of him, you think back to the past couple of years, they've kind of just abandoned the high school recruiting game a little bit, like everybody has around the country. And I feel like with the chance to get Darren Peterson, I think they've recruited every high school five-star in the country because they can, because they're KU. The fact that they realized they had a chance to get Darren Peterson and the chance of revenue sharing happening, which it now is, I think that they kind of made that bed when they got Darren to commit, whenever that was, a year ago or whatever. So, you know, whenever you get a player like that, you know, there's a price tag for it. I don't know what that price tag is, but they knew that that was going to happen, and I think that they just have known once Hunter Dickinson gets out of here, once KJ graduates, once DeJuan graduates, we're going to have a price tag. All that's going to be cleared off the books. We've got Darren Peterson coming, so we're going to have to invest in him now, and I think that they've known that for the last year. You know, they talked about Darian Williams, the Texas Tech transfer. They really wanted him. That would have been a pretty penny, too. And at the end of the day, like, they stopped going up. There's a reason he went to NC State is what it sounds like. So I think the fact of a multiple things, you've got Darren Peterson on the books, you now got Florey Badunga on the books, and now the fact that it's revenue sharing, you've got KU football on those books as well. You've got a new stadium on the books that's coming out of the same athletics department fund. So they've had to not be thin because they're still blowing a lot of money here, but there's a cap, and I think they've gotten close to it.
So I think that could be possible. I think that could be possible big picture, but I don't think that's the reason, because they were in on Darian Williams. Everybody on the planet knows they wanted Darian Williams. They just didn't get him. So, you know, there could be a reallocation because of a guy like Peterson, but, you know, they had to retain Florey Badunga. That wasn't an inexpensive endeavor. The whole reason that whole thing happened, I think it's just a different way. They, I don't know if they had to spend it that way. I suppose they didn't have to spend it that way, but they chose to spend it that way. They're spending. I don't know if it's some grand indictment on how they're going to do things in the future. I don't think it is. I just don't think they had any players left to bring back. I mean, they lost everybody. Mm-hmm. They lost everybody, basically. They lost Dickinson, Mayo, AJ, DeJuan, Store and Griffin left, Coit left, and then you had a bunch of other dudes. So it wasn't like they had guys to retain. It wasn't like anything else. They chose, and they chose before they knew they weren't going to get anybody, by the way, that they were getting Darren Peterson. They knew that. So he is already accounted for. The thing that changed was Flory, and however much that took to get to, you know, to get to bring him back. And then it was, what else do you do with the remainder? Well, they wanted Darian Williams. They went hard after Darian Williams. They didn't get Darian Williams. I don't think that's an indictment on Bill Self. I think that's Will Wade probably had a bag and he wanted to use it. And Darian Williams is a guy he wanted to use it on. So be it. I just think I wouldn't be surprised at all. I guess what I'm saying is next year when Darren Peterson goes to the draft and you know, Badunga may go to whatever happens, that they don't go back closer to what we saw for the last few years, just with different players. Those players, like that philosophy had them as the preseason number one 2 years.
I'm not.
It's not. It just, they weren't a good fit together.
Yeah. It's just kind of a storm of events that happened that turned out that they weren't good. I don't think that they are, I guess I'll be more clear here. I don't think that they're attacking this offseason with the thought of, we don't want to do that again. I think that they're attacking it at the fact of, hey, we're going to go get the number one player in the country and then we'll figure it out after that. And this is them figuring it out. They just can't afford to do what they've done in years past because they've got Darren Peterson and that's what they wanted to invest in. And I like that idea.
Yeah, I like it for a year. I like it for a year. You got to have a player. He's got to be, Bill Self's called him the best player they've ever recruited, the best player they've ever brought in. He wouldn't just throw that around. That doesn't make any sense for him to, unless he really believed it. And we see that type of player. We happened to see it last year with Cooper Flagg. We could see it 2 years in a row. He seems like he's that kind of prospect, or at least Kansas thinks he is. So we'll get Shreyas Lada's thoughts on all of this a little later in the show as we make our way through it. Royals last night, TJ and Rays. Let's just make a hard transition here. That was a dud in the opener. Taj Bradley is a guy who has pretty good stuff, but he lasted an inning and a third in his start prior, and he had an ERA just under 5 going into this game. He's perfect for a while, and he holds the Royals to just 2 hits and 6 2/3. That's a pretty tough offensive start to that series. Chris Bubich wasn't good. He wasn't bad. But he's not what he was to start the year, which again, we've talked about it a million times, that's an unfair expectation, but he was good enough for that to be a competitive game. And it never really felt competitive. They can't walk into games against guys who have 5 ERAs and get shut down like that. Doesn't make any sense. I don't know what has happened to this team offensively at home, but whatever it is, change it. That's a disappointing start to that series.
It doesn't make any sense why they're so bad at home. Last year, they were like the best team in baseball in Kauffman Stadium. Like, they were unreal at home, and now they're basically the complete opposite. I think I saw a stat, actually. They're a perfect 500 across home and road and overall record at this point. They're 19-19 at home, 19-19 on the road. But I agree. You know, the fact that they're playing a guy that, you know, the Rays are a good team. They've been playing pretty well, but, you know,
they've been playing very well.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, if the Royals want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to beat good teams. And we really haven't seen them do that. Like, they beat the Rangers. Are the Rangers a good team?
Yeah. I mean, they're as good as the Royals are. I don't know that. To me, it's less because we've seen them. We saw them lose a series against the White Sox. We saw them get swept by the A's. I don't even think it matters so much anymore who they're playing, because I think if they do what they do, they are good enough to beat anybody. I predicted yesterday they would have a nice week. They'd have a big week. This would kind of be the anti-home series for the year. It's certainly not happening through the first game. I just don't know why a guy who has struggled all year comes in and is perfect against them for 5 1/3. I saw there was a graphic or something, and I haven't like double checked this, but something to the effect of Royals are the only team in baseball, right, without an extra base hit with the bases loaded. Yep. And everybody else has several. Multiple, at least. It's just not, it's not making sense. Like, the things that are happening is not they're not making sense. Like, why is this happening? It's not like the roster isn't a roster that would make you think this. Like, it just is very strange. I can't figure it.
It's a better roster than the team that went to the ALDS last year. Like,
I agree.
Bar none, it's better. I don't know. That's what I was saying. Last night I was thinking about coming on the radio today, and I was like, it's Groundhog Day. You know, I'm going to go sit on the radio with Jacob, and we're going to talk about how this Royals offense has struggled, and we just don't know why it's happening, and what needs to change, and we don't know what's going to change, and we don't know if this team is good enough to make playoffs if they keep playing like this. And we've had the same conversation 100 times because nothing's changed, and I don't know, like, what's the definition of insanity? Is expecting the same results? Expecting different
it's
results
baseball.
With the same process.
I mean, baseball is a law of averages kind of a sport. This is it's not unusual for any of this. Like they're not some aberration to things we've seen historically. It could be a law of averages that they come back from where they were last year. I still don't think that's the case. I think that when you even look at last year, this was a problem that started to rear its head in September. They really struggled to score runs, and they overcame that. I keep thinking and keep wondering, like, there's going to be a stretch where they just turn it on and stay hot offensively. There has to be. There's too many good players in the lineup for that not to happen. But I don't know that they can withstand the long road it's going to take to get there, right? How much longer can they sort of just meddle away here before they run out of time for that streak to come in and be what it is? I saw yesterday, I believe it was ESPN, put out a, you know, 50 players who could get traded sort of articles. It was fun. It was a fun read. And there's a million, right? Because you don't really know who the contenders and the sellers and all those things are. But I can tell you, one of the names that was pretty high on the list was Seth Lugo.
Yeah.
And the Royals are going to have some big decisions to make. Again, we talked about this forever when we were out at the Open. They don't have to make them yet. They got to make them in a month. And if you don't think you're contending, why wouldn't you make some of these trades? But I just don't want them to. I can't not imagine punting on this season. And they're not anywhere near doing that. They're 38-41. They're very much in the wild card. But it could happen. It's going to happen one way or the other. Like, they're going to have to make the call. And they can do both. They can trade some players and be aggressive and still try to win and do all those things. But, man, I just can't believe we're having this conversation before this year and the expectations we put on them. And you tell me they made the Cags call. And they found him a spot to play every day. It's just really frustrating. And you know it's frustrating for them. They'll face a tougher pitcher tonight on paper than they did last night going in Rasmussen, who's been pretty dang good. And then Boz in the finale. The Rays can always pitch. The Rays starters are inflated because they're playing in a little bandbox while their stadium is repaired. So probably some of these things we see from their staff. They're the only staff in baseball who has as many quality starts from their rotation as the Royals do. But the offense, and we said this yesterday, the offense is going to have to do something in this series. The offense is going to have to pick them up and carry the pitch. Like, they're just going to have to, and they certainly did not yesterday. Just a really, really piss-poor offensive performance on Tuesday night for the Royals, and they got to bounce right back. No time. They don't have time to sit there and figure, like, you just got to go.
I mean, the timer is on, like, towards the trade deadline. I think if they're 10 games under 500 at the trade deadline, I think they need to sell. Like, 100% they need to sell. But it's so interesting, and I talked to Tim Grubbs about this last night, is that this team, last year the ownership, they want a new stadium, obviously, and they wanted to invest in getting a winner to get people excited about a new stadium. And they did that. They made moves. They extended Bobby Witt. They brought in Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, all these guys, and made a playoff team, basically. And then they kind of doubled down a little bit this summer. They didn't really do that much more, but they made a roster that was better than it was last year, and it's just not working. So you have to think, that's the other piece of this, is that are the Royals going to sell while they're trying to pitch a new stadium to lawmakers and to voters, basically? Like, if I'm voting and the Royals just trade their, if the Royals traded Salvador Perez, which I don't think they will, but if the Royals traded Salvador Perez and I'm voting to give you my tax dollars to build a stadium, like, that's gonna sting, and like, people would be pissed. So I that's the other part of this that also is a really interesting watch of what they're gonna do in this scenario, because it's never been more win now for the Kansas City Royals, and they're not winning. So do you double down on that and try harder at the deadline, or do you give up and just start thinking about the future of Bobby Witt and Caglione and Michael Garcia and Vinny and those guys?
No, I don't think you have to do either thing. The Royals' future is bright because they have Witt, Pasquantino, Garcia, Caglione, still probably at least one more year after this one of Salvador Perez being effective. They have all of those pieces. They have Cole Reagans, right? They feel like they might have Noah Cameron. Waka, they got on a multi-year deal, I believe. So they have him again. Like, they can sell and still not like slam the door shut. The question is going to become, do they feel like they can contend through the end of the year? If they put Seth Lugo on the block, he'd be one of the most attractive players out there. And so how much control does he have? How much time does he have left on his contract? Let's just take a look.
Him to a three-year deal.
I believe it's just this year, right? And then he's got an option. So he signed a three-year deal initially. Yeah, he's got a player option after this year. So next year's on a player option. He will almost certainly exercise that option. Even at 36 years old, he's worth far more than the $15 million a year he's set to make in that year. So he's probably exercising that option. Unless you can have a conversation with him right now that was like, hey, do you want to stay here like longer term? It's not going to make a lot of sense. Seth Lugo helps them this year try to win a World Series. If at any point they don't think they're going to do that, then you're going to trade Seth Lugo at minimum. But you can only trade Seth Lugo. And by the way, you can trade Seth Lugo and still compete for a World Series. Like, you can still, even if you made that decision in July, it's not like that's the end of the season and they're not allowed to win any more games. I think they would make that decision if they're just being practical and they're saying it's a long shot. We're not out of the woods yet. We're not selling, but we'd be dumb not to entertain offers at this point, right? And they would be hefty. I'm not sure how many better players are going to be better than that guy as a starter down the stretch when everybody needs pitching. The Royals could look at that and probably get, you know, this isn't just some trade where you're hoping for. No, if you make that trade, you got to make it because you know you're getting players that help you big time in the future. He's that kind of asset. So, they can sell and not be punting on the season, I think. I think there is a scenario where that exists. They could also buy and not be punting on next season with something really inexpensive. Or they could go buy on something that helps them this year and next year, right? You know, they can both buy and sell at the deadline. We're talking Royals. We'll talk a little NBA draft. We can talk Chiefs as well. So the ESPN article is out. And just a couple of names mentioned. An interesting team on here is the Red Sox. They've got a bunch of their guys. I think everybody's anticipating they continue to sell. The Diamondbacks are another one of those interesting teams. They've had a ton of injuries. And then Seth Lugo, TJ, becomes the... So they rank them. They're calling this their ranking. Not most likely, I don't think. But a ranking of these players. For instance, Alex Bregman and Jaron Duran of the Red Sox are 1 and 2. Sandy Alcantara is 3. I'm going to tell you right now, I would take Seth Lugo over Sandy Alcantara 10 times out of 10. If I was a team looking for a player to help me this year, Freddy Peralta's in there. He's been really good for a long time of the Brewers. So Seth Lugo is their 6th ranked player and their 3rd ranked starting pitcher on this list. I think he's probably higher than that in reality, but that tells you what kind of trade candidate he could be. And I'm not advocating that the Royals trade Seth Lugo. Let me just say that 500 times. Not advocating for that yet. It's too early to make that call. But if they were to listen to him, that kind of tells you where he might sit in the rankings of or in how players are evaluated as trade candidates.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. You think that they could get a big league ready bat for Seth Lugo? Or if they did that, would they be getting prospects to think for the future?
Boy, that's a good question. Man, that's
because you can
question.
You can get a young prospect that's in the big leagues. You know, you think about what they did with Cole Reagans, the pitcher, obviously. But, you know, they traded Aroldis Chapman for Cole Reagans, who got called up 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Is that what you could get from him, or was it going to be a guy that's in double A?
Oh, no, you'd ask for more than, well, yeah, you'd ask for more than Reagans because Lugo's more valuable than Chapman was year.
Just an example.
I think. Now, as somebody who's a Rangers fan who follows the Rangers, like, they obviously didn't think that Cole Reagans was that kind of pitcher either.
I talked to
Lugo's the only guy on this list of top 50, by the way. I think that they also have plenty of relief pitchers that could be of interest for people. Lugo's only in there for the reasons I think we're talking about. Like, even on something like this, like, I don't think anybody thinks of the Royals as sellers. I don't yet. I think they could be, but they're going to be, even if they trade a player or two, they're not the same as a typical seller because it's hard to imagine they're going to fall so far out of this that with a half a season still to play, you can't envision them making a run into the postseason. You know what I mean? Like, they would have to be so far back of the wild card at that point. It seems impossible that they even could be. So the Lugo's name is on there because in my thinking is the same probably as this list. He's just such a valuable piece that they'd be crazy not to listen unless they're a lock for the postseason. Again, I'm not advocating for them to trade Seth Lugo. I'm not. But I'm advocating for them to listen if somebody wanted to blow him away. Yeah, if you told me you could get Cole Reagans for him, I would take that right now, knowing what Cole Reagans you know, is and assuming he comes back from his injury okay. But I think you'd have to start with a young starting pitcher, a prospect that you feel like could fit into your rotation. And the other part of it would be, yeah, somebody you would be able to foresee being a, you know, being an everyday outfielder, probably. Those would be the thing. You could, it doesn't have to be an outfielder either, because Michael Garcia and Jonathan India have shown you they can play anywhere. So it could be anybody. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything specifically. But yeah, I think getting two usable pieces, hopefully as soon as next year, for a guy like Lugo would be the goal. But you just have to realize, like, unless Lugo just loves it so much, there's almost no way he doesn't exercise his player option next year. So
that's another part of it as well, is that you, even if he wants to stay, that he could exercise the player option and try to work another deal and he'd get paid more. So you think
with
about
the Royals, but you have to, like, those conversations have to be happening right now.
Yeah. But I don't know. If he says, like, I want to exercise the player option, but I'd like to stay, I don't know if the Royals afford that with the thinking of towards the future. Can you afford to pay a guy that's going to be 37 years
probably
old
not.
That amount of money? So
No, you would have to try to do, and they've done a good job of this. Look, they've evaluated players well. They went and they acquired Lorenzen, who's been a useful piece for them. They also acquired Waka, who's been, you know, very useful for them. They are evaluating these types of players well. I think it's far more likely that Lugo walks and they try to recreate him next year, and you hope that you can build a rotation on your young guys, on Bubic, right? On Reagans, if he's healthy. Now they hope on Noah Cameron. Alec Marsh is, you know, proven he could be a number five starter in this league. I think there are some of those guys out there, but the Royals aren't some farm system either that's just going to keep churning out players. They've got some guys. They're okay, but most of the good part of their system is up right now. And that's fine. Like, they've got a lot of good. The window is long. The window's as long as Bobby Witt Jr.'s, you know, leading the charge. But they've got a good core, even if they were to trade away with Seth Lugo. So he's going to be a name that's on there. And it's going to be because he's very, very desired on the market. And because probably outside of some wild hot streak, the Royals are going to be in purgatory as the trade deadline approaches. July 31st is the date, so they'll have a month's worth of games until July 31st. I mean, at this point, it's pretty unlikely, right, that they're not in about the same position they're in right now, which is within 4 or 5 games.
It's going to have to get worse, I think. Like, it's not that
a lot worse.
I don't know if that's get that much more worse. Like, they're below 500 right now. Like, I think if they get 10 games below, like, if there's another cold stretch where they lose 6 games in a row and it pushes them down that far, then you do it. But if you're teetering on the 500 line, there's still a chance. But if you're below 500, you're not going to get in the playoffs.
But you can't look at it. Why? You can't look at it as what your record below 500 is. You've got to look at it as how close am I to a wild card spot.
Yeah, but I mean,
you could be five games below 500, but three games out of a wild card.
I don't know. That's just an indicator in my head, I guess. But I don't know. I don't think a below 500 team's not going to get in the playoff. Like, you have to have a legit chance to finish above 500, is what I'm saying. If you don't finish above 500, it's a wash, and you're not going to get. So what are they now? They're chasing five teams to get into the playoffs now?
They're three games under. That's what I mean. Like, at some point, this stuff's going to begin to work itself out. And, like, I don't know how quickly that happens. But the other thing that none of us, like, when we have these conversations, we're not accounting for a hot streak at any point in the second half. That's why you can't be outright sellers. As tight as this is a team that went on a 20-2 stretch or whatever it was that they're basically still riding this year. But if they, like, if any, and this is what the Rays have done right now. The Rays are on one of these heaters and they're creating some separation in the wild card. But a handful of these teams probably will be significantly better in the second half than they were the first half, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're going to see the 500 thing come into play. But you're going to have to, if you're the Royals, like, be totally willing to punt on the possibility that one of those teams that does that is you. And I don't know that that's the right way to approach it. Like, I think it's far more responsible and a better decision to just bake that in, not be outright sellers, and just maybe sell a little, but understand, like, we could still make a run at this thing.
I think
and play it through.
I think that they do something, but I agree. I don't think that they definitely can't buy, but I think that they can sell. I think that they can sell a little. I think that they can trade Seth Lugo and get somebody younger with more control and preferably a bat. You know, I think that I still think that I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking it, but I think that Chris Bubich is an interesting thought. That the fact of what he's done this year of somebody that wants to make a push of him being basically one of the best ERA pitchers in baseball, and you don't think it's sustainable. I'd entertain all those offers as well. So I think that
for Bubich,
I would. I think that what he's done so far, you can capitalize on it if you don't think that you're good enough to make a playoff push. What's it matter if you have a guy that's got the best ERA in baseball if you're not going to make the playoffs?
I think that is a little crazy because Bubich for a team like the Royals is gold because he's under control. He doesn't hit free agency until 2027. So you got two more years of arbitration for him. You'd have one full year of control.
It depends how bad they get. If they're in the hunt, they can't get rid of him. But if they go on a cold stretch,
At that point, you're trading away a really affordable starting pitcher for next year.
It's true, but you could get a lot for it. That's what everybody else wants too. They have one of the worst farm systems. Since they've called up Cags, they have one of the worst farm systems in baseball again. So,
no question about that. But do they need to reload that? When was the last time the Royals had a good farm system? I ask you that?
When Bobby and MJ were down there.
You think that was a good farm system?
Well, ranking-wise, it was a good
farm system. No, it was a bad farm system with a good player, which is basically what it was with Cags, right? They haven't. I don't remember. It's been a long time. You got to go back till before the first World Series run when all those players were coming up, Hosmer and Moustakas. They haven't had a good farm system in the last 12 years. They've had good players in the farm system. They haven't had a good farm system. That could change. I mean, really all that, you know, those farm system rankings, they're impactful, sure, but it really is like, can you get a handful of players that graduate and help you right away? I think the Royals have had far more success in this recent run through being really good in free agency and making some good trades. It hasn't been the farm system necessarily. Noah Cameron. Okay. We'll see what kind of player he is. Bobby Witt Jr. was can't miss. Like, that's not a, and Caglione didn't even spend any time in the farm system. So I'm not sure that that's I guess I just don't trust that very much. I'd rather see them stay competitive and make some effective free moves in free agency and do some things like that and utilize the farm system to try to develop players and pull up guys that can just help you in a pinch. Lynch has ended up okay, right? Like that, some of these guys have been okay, but I ain't counting on this ain't the time in this franchise to be talking about the farm system. We waited a long time for them to be relevant. They're relevant. You got to stay relevant.
Yeah,
you can trade Lugo and stay relevant. I don't think they'll be in the business of entertaining Bubic, but you're right. His contract is not as favorable as it would seem because he seems new to it, but he's going to be 28 years old. He's been around for a long time. Just not as a starter. So maybe, I doubt it. I think next year would be the year you do that, but maybe, because the reality is, again, you're going to lose Lugo, right? Lugo's going to be gone one way or the other, most likely. So you're going to have Bubic if you want to be competitive next year, I would think. It's all food for thought. When we come back, we'll turn the page a little bit, talk a little football. We've got Shreyas Lotta coming up in hour number two. Don't go away. More Sports Daily coming right back. Now, welcome back in, everybody. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday on Sports Daily. And we are rocking and rolling through another hour here. Coming up in just a little bit, Shreyas Lotta will join us. Glad to have Shreyas in on a day after KU makes a big addition to their roster. TJ Cleland in for Tommy Caster, Max Power producing. He's got you at 869-1240. That's the phone number if you want to get in touch with the program. You can do that. You can also reach us on our video streams. You'll find us on X, on Facebook, on YouTube. You can leave us comments there. Thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected. And thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app, where you can leave us voice messages, even if you're listening to us after the fact. I know a lot of people podcast the show out and listen to it that way. If you have thoughts on anything we've talked about, KU's roster philosophy, a lot of the Royals' decisions coming at the deadline as they lose the opener to Tampa yesterday, you can do that there on the Odyssey app, and we can get those and play them out over the air. Of course, they're relevant to what we're talking about. We'll get more into the Royals and their game tonight in this hour. Shreyas Lotta is going to join us in this hour. We'll talk a little NFL football. What about the teams around the Chiefs? We like what the Chiefs have done, I think. I'll let TJ speak for himself. But we have that. But what about everybody else, right? What about all the other teams in the NFL? What are they doing to get better? We'll go through some of that as well over the next couple of weeks as we count down the days until training camp. It's What's on Tap, all of it here, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. Man, I got Hawaiian. I could roll up to a Wichita Brewing Company right now for a couple slices of that pizza, a couple of Wichita Brewing Company beers. That'd be a pretty good way to spend a Wednesday, but we'll work instead. We'll work for you, the people. But we appreciate Wichita Brewing Company and their support of the program. Let's start this hour with our giveaway. You can score a round for two with a cart at Crestview Country Club. All you got to do to win this contest, this is our last Friday of the month. Our last winner will be this Friday. You can text the keyword golf to the number 20357. We will pick one more winner. We've done this every Friday through June. You can enter once per 24 hours. Message and data rates apply. More details at kfhradio.com. Good luck, everybody. This has been one of the more popular giveaways we've ever done on this show. And Crestview said they've heard a lot about it. They're excited to get people out there, tour the facilities. TJ, I haven't been out and checked out the north side as they're still trying to break down the open. I know they've got people playing golf out there. I was like, man, it's so amazing that this is happening. And I wonder what this place is going to look like when they clear out and we've got to see, because it was so, I mean, we would have been on in normal circumstances, probably through Sunday, we would have been cart path only golf. Like, it was so wet at the beginning and that all was just trampled through, but it's rained at the open before. So maybe it's not that more unusual than normal. But they still have storm damage to clean up. All those trees. I mean, it's crazy out there.
I talked to Ben Hartman, who's the groundskeeper with the Wind Surge. So his crew went out and was helping at the golf tournament to help clean up and do all their stuff as well. And they were telling me that they got out there like as soon as it happened on Tuesday, and there were like trunks of trees, not trunks, but like branches, but not twigs, like branches were like in the fairways, like a foot deep. Like they were pulling them out of the fairways. Like that's unbelievable. I've never even seen anything like that.
That's such a cool story that the Wind Surge went out there too. to help them. We would have been search grounds crew. That whole thing is still just blows my mind. Sunday, like, would have been cart path only golf. The fact that that tournament felt at the beginning and that all pretty close to normal. Like, the only thing missing were the air conditioned chalets.
So maybe it's not that.
And everybody was okay with that, by the way, because everybody knows what happened. But man, that it is just wild to me that they were able to do what they were able to do. It's always wild to me what these grounds crews can do. Like, let alone the effort to get things cleaned up and, you know, the community effort, and that's also cool. But the golf course looked fine, the actual course. How they can, as somebody with a yard, like, how they can do those kinds of things is it's amazing what they can do with time, with just a little bit of time. And they got that thing looking good. So I am curious to get out there and maybe play a little. Maybe I'll try and go fire off a couple holes this week just to scout it and see
that whole thing
what things look like as they continue the teardown of that event and they get on the road and they go to the next one. But it's a pretty wild and crazy event. Thanks to everybody who stopped by, said hi while we were out there. And good luck in that golf giveaway today. One more time, if you've never been out and played, you know, the famed North Course. I love the South Course. I think you can use this giveaway on either. There's a lot of cleanup that's got to still happen on the South Course too. But famed North Course, whatever it is, you got a cart, bring a buddy, bring your wife, bring your husband. If you're listening to the show and you want to win that, enter to win. Golf 20357. Good luck, everybody.
How they can, as
all right, TJ, we can reset this hour a little bit. We talked about the Royals. I don't know. It's so funny because we always kind of make our way to
with
the Royals and what they should be doing and like what are they? Are they buyers? Are they like it just keeps happening because they are a little
purgatory.
They have baseball to play. And we can look ahead. We can sort of put a bow on them and look ahead to the rest of the series. And then in the next segment, we'll switch over to talk some football.
It's a
but Bubich didn't get it done in that opener. Now Waka takes the mound against Drew Rasmussen
in that golf giveaway,
and we'll see if he can sort of settle the ship. That's kind of been his role this year, right? Like he's been sort of the stabilizer, the most consistent guy, and I'm really glad he's still there. His contract, by the way, as we're talking about these things, he has a club option, so Waka's going to be around a while, most likely, right? He doesn't hit free agency until 2029.
He just
all right, TJ. We can reset this
in
2028. What's that?
He just resigned this past offseason.
It's so funny because we always
and so he, but for a long time, right? It's a long deal. They'll get him. They'll get him probably 3 more years. And they built it to where he's front loaded, and what he gets paid, he'll begin to age a bit. I mean, he's in his mid 30s.
Sort of put a bow on them,
but so and look at he's around, right? Like he's going to become the leader of this rotation.
But Bubich didn't get it done in that opener.
Probably now, next year. We'll see what Reagan's help against, like. But this, that we'll see. Like, Seth Lugo has been so good the last couple of years at sort of stepping into this role and being the stabilizer,
the most consistent guy.
Waka, do that same thing. And he goes tonight against a pretty good Rays pitcher who, when he's on, is like way on. And Rasmussen can do what Bradley did for sure last night to you. His stuff may be a little bit better. But you don't want to. You know, the Dodgers are looming there.
What's that?
And yeah, the Rays are probably playing better than the Dodgers right now.
But
the Dodgers are looming. Don't let this week get away from you. I felt like yesterday was such an opportunity
and
an opportunity waste.
He's front loaded. And what,
man, I hope they can get that thing flipped around real quick.
But so
yeah, it's a huge week, and that's around, what I'm that, right? That's like what we're talking about, you know, is that, the fact that they have to beat good teams, and you look at the wild card chase. I mean, there's five teams ahead of them that
we'll see.
You looked at the logos, you'd say, yeah, they're better than the Royals. So it's going to take a lot of quality wins to get where they want to be, and they've got to find a way eventually to win these games, because so far, you know, we saw him sweep this Rays team, a part of the winning streak, whenever it was, a month ago or 2 months ago. So it's possible they haven't beaten a good team in a while, I feel like. They beat the Rangers, who are pretty on par with the Royals, I think. But They're gonna have to get good wins. That's the thing that's so daunting about this is that they're in the Central Division where they're gonna have to play the Tigers 40 more times. They're gonna have to play the Guardians 30, 40 more times. So there's gonna be teams that are better than them in front of them, and they have to find a way to win.
I hope. They don't have to play
the division quite as much as they used to. But the division's good. We can set the division to the side. I want to go back to something you just said. You said these teams are better than the Royals when you look at the standings. Because I don't think that I agree with that.
If you looked at the logos, the Rays, they're better than the Royals.
They're playing really well right now. They've won 7 out of their last 10. The Mariners are playing really well. That's the other team that occupies one of the spots in the Blue Jays. I wouldn't look at the Blue Jays roster, I'll tell you right now, and say that's a better roster than the Royals. So
it's possible they haven't beaten a good team in a while.
The Rays, I'm not sure. They're playing really well. I'm not sure I would say that about their roster. I would say it about the Mariners. I would say the Mariners are a better roster. I'll give you the Mariners.
Central Division where they're going to have to play the Guardians 40 more times. They're going to have to play.
I don't think that's better roster.
30, 40 more times. So
the Red Sox are probably going to sell.
They have to find a way to win.
So I don't know what. The Angels certainly are not a better roster. The Rangers could be, but they're not playing well either.
We can set.
And they started to play well, but then now they've kind of fallen back a little bit. I think the Rangers are a team that could absolutely heat up. Though
I agree with that.
The Twins,
Rays,
probably an on par
really well right now.
I don't think in the division the Twins and Guardians have better rosters necessarily than the Royals. I definitely don't think the Angels do. I think the Red Sox are going to sell.
I'll tell you right now, and say
the Rangers could. They're almost the same thing as the Royals, an underperforming team so far. I would say
I'm not sure. They're playing really well.
You've got can the Royals be better than?
I wouldn't say. I would say it about the Mariners.
I think so.
I would say the Mariners are better.
I mean, Toronto doesn't overly scare me right now. That's what I'm like.
That's why this is so
hard. 3 weeks ago, we never would have thought we'd be talking about the Royals like this.
So I don't know what to do.
They're in a little bit of a slump here, just like they were at the beginning of the season.
The Rangers could again, but they're not playing well.
They came back and won 20 out of 22 games.
They
started. I know they played a few bad teams in there, but the Rays were one of those teams
that
they were beating up on at that time.
So
the Twins.
I keep getting teased by like, okay, it feels like maybe
I don't think
they're going to get on one of these heaters, and then
they don't
necessarily.
But I still think it's in there. The question is going to be, does it happen before the trade deadline?
Like the Red Sox are going to sell.
I mean, that's the question. They play 6:40 tonight. You'll hear it right here on KFH. When we come back, let's talk a little football. What's happening around the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs the favorite right now? We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
Better than
Toronto? I think so. I mean, Toronto doesn't overly scare me right now. That's what I'm like. That's why this is so hard. 3 weeks ago, you never would have thought we'd be talking about the Royals like this. They're in a little bit of a slump here, just like they were at the beginning of the season. But again, they came back and won 20 out of 22 games. And I know they played a few bad teams in there, but the Rays were one of those teams that they were beating up on at that time. So I keep getting teased by like, okay, it feels like maybe they're going to get on one of these heaters, and then they don't. But I still think it's in there. The question is going to be, does it happen before the trade deadline? Right? I mean, that's the question. They play 6:40 tonight. You'll hear it right here on KFH. When we come back, let's talk a little football. What's happening around the Chiefs? Are the Chiefs the favorite right now? We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, The love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
It gets me every time. Gets me every time. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, everybody. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. It's been fun. It's been a fun day. We got TJ Cleland in for Tommy. I'm Jacob Albrecht. We're making our way through our this hour, and we've got Shreya Slotta coming up in just a little bit. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that as well. Just text the keyword T to 20357. That's 20357. The word is T, T-E-A. You can enter once per day. That'll get you a free iced tea at either Wichita location, east or west, or in Derby. And good luck, everybody. It's iced tea weather right now. I continue to get these little storms in, but it's hot. Make no mistake about it. It's hot. All right, TJ, let's talk a little NFL. You and I, and I think everybody, Brandon, Tom, I think everybody agrees the Chiefs are at least as good as they were a year ago.
Gets me.
Right? Is that fair?
They're just about the exact same team.
Glad to be here with you.
I happen to think that they are on paper right now.
It's been fun.
Quite a bit better day than the team we saw most of last year.
We're making our way through our
this real regular. We've got Shreya Slotta coming up in just a little bit. If you want to win some HTO, you can do that as well.
And I don't think they can be worse in the one area that really plagued them. So I think they'll be at least as good.
I think they'll be a little better there at left tackle.
You can enter once per day. That'll get you a free iced tea.
As long as they stay healthy, which we can't know about any team right now.
Or in Derby.
Because they got all their guys. They did bring everybody back, essentially. We'll have to see a couple of new faces mix in on defense. But
storms in, but it's
counting on them being close to what they were a year ago.
All right, TJ, let's talk a little NFL. You and I, and I think everybody,
right now,
Brandon,
the
Tom,
Chiefs
I think everybody agrees the
are
Chiefs
the fourth odds on favorite to win the
Super
Bowl.
At least as good as
it
they were a year
Eagles,
ago.
Bills, right, that Ravens.
They're
and
just
I'm just
about
looking
the exact
at DraftKings right now, all at 6.5 to 1, which is where the Chiefs have been
on
most
paper
seasons.
Right now,
they Chiefs are at 8 to 1. Than the and then you have the Lions at 10 to 1. Everybody else is
team that
is essentially a long
real
shot. Those are the five teams
that went
right
to the Super Bowl. They're just healthy.
I think
right.
And I don't
that's
think they
fair,
can be worse.
But
in the one
it
area
does
really
bring up
them,
if the Chiefs are better and they went to the Super Bowl.
Least as, I think
what's
be
everybody else
there
been
left
doing?
What's everybody else?
I think they're
going to
be a better team
too,
as long as they stay healthy, which we
and,
can't.
And
know
I
about
think
any
that that
right
becomes
now
important
because they got all their
because
guys.
If you go bring everybody back,
odds,
essentially, we'll have to see
the Texans will almost certainly
better be better than they were a year ago.
I'm counting on
the
them
division
close to what
when you talk about the Broncos and Chargers, better off
feels like it's getting better.
Right
the Bengals
now,
can't
the Chiefs
be as bad. They could, I guess, they could be as bad. They won't be worse.
Super Bowl.
We're just talking AFC
Eagles,
here.
Bills,
and
Ravens.
Then of course it's the Bills and Ravens. I think draft,
and I agree
right
with
now,
this.
All
that would
at
be
six
the
and
primary
a half
contenders,
which is where the Chiefs
there
have been most seasons.
It's even with
they,
the Chiefs
are at
getting
8
better,
to 1, and then you have the Lions.
It's still
going to
be
tough. Everybody
the
else
Ravens
is essentially a long shot.
The corner,
the five teams.
They added D Hop, which feels like a lifetime ago. they retained Ronnie Stanley, which was their big thing.
If the Chiefs are better and they went to the
through all the draft and everything else that they've done, but they probably got a little bit better
up to.
And then the Bills,
and
their big move,
of
course, their headline move was Joey Bosa.
If you go
to help them a little bit, they also brought in though Josh
Palmer,
who's been a pretty handy receiver over his career.
The division, when you talk about the Broncos and Chargers.
I think
like
they also
better.
Got better. I think the Ravens
Bengals
and Bills both got
be
better
as
too.
Bad. They could.
So I guess they could be as
then,
bad. They won't be worse. And we're just talking
it's
AFC
a good question.
Here.
Yeah, it just depends on how much you like the Chiefs offseason, basically. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. You know, we talked about last week that I said that
it's even with
originally on paper, I really didn't like the direction the Chiefs were going.
It's still
going to
be tough. The Ravens. Added a woozy.
We're
going to
run it back. We're
going to
run back the same team. And
they added
even though we had our flaws,
which feels
we're going
like
to trade Joe Tooney
ago.
On the offensive line. That kind of helped us, and we'll just
Ronnie
figure it out from
Stanley,
there.
Which was their big thing.
And I think they kind of lucked
see,
into Josh Simmons being
and
healthy, and hopefully
but
he's 100% healthy and ready to go.
Better.
But it sounds like,
and then
by
the
all
Bills,
accounts, he's going to be
their big move.
But
of course, their headline move
for this team, having another receiver like that,
a little bit. They also brought in
to be one of the best receivers in the league last year before he got hurt,
basically. Over his career,
you have to think that the Chiefs are going to be right there. But
I think they
in my
also
opinion, all these
better.
Other teams,
the
you know,
Bills
you say the Bills, they
too.
Brought in Joey Bosa.
So
that's probably the biggest headliner of all of the contenders with the Chiefs there in the
question.
AFC. Yeah. I kind of just depends on how much
too,
you
because
like
they've
the
also kind of been on that level.
I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there.
It's probably
going to
be a lot of the same stuff that we've seen the past couple of years of
originally
the same group of three teams.
The direction the Chiefs were going
in the AFC Championship.
Like, I don't know if Joey Bosa makes
back,
the Bills immensely
the
better.
Team,
do you think he does?
Even though we had our flaws,
well,
trade
the
Joe
idea
Tooney on the offensive
of him
line
does.
That kind of helped us.
I don't
we'll
know if he's
out
still
there.
That player.
Exactly. And I think they kind of
I think
lucked into Josh Simmons being healthy.
I think he probably has a similar
and
impact
go,
that Von Miller
like
had there, and Von
by
Miller
all accounts,
is
he's
going to
be. But I agree. Humongous for this team.
He's been so hurt
like
that it's hard to
he was
imagine
on pace to be one of the best receivers
him
in the
being
league
what
last
he once
year
was,
he hurt,
but he's still
so,
Joey Bosa.
You have to
right?
think
he's
that the Chiefs are going to be right there.
Potentially that kind
in
of a
my
player,
opinion,
even if it's in
teams,
a limited
you know,
role,
Bills,
he can disrupt
they brought
the game
in Joey Bosa,
in
that's
spots.
Probably the biggest headliner of all of the
so, yeah, look, I think he makes them better. I don't know
they
how much better. I don't know how
too, because they've also kind of been on that
better.
Level, I think. So
they,
it's
they,
probably going to be a lot of the same
they
stuff
just didn't
that we've
lose
seen
much
the past
either,
couple of years.
Right? They released
the same
Von
group
Miller.
Of three teams.
Mac Collins is
to be
gone.
In the AFC Championship. I don't know if
man, that's
Joey Bosa
it.
Makes the Bills
I think
immensely
as far as,
better.
Like, key
do you
players
think he does?
Leaving them. I don't think they lost
the idea of him does. I don't know if he's
the Ravens. Well, we'll stick with the Bills for now.
I think. They did, but they added players that are going to help.
I think he probably has a similar
kind of
impact
ran it
that Von Miller
too.
Had there, and Von Miller
they already
is gone.
They are already on to life without Steph Diggs.
He's
it didn't
been
affect
so
him too much. Josh Allen just
hard
won an MVP.
To imagine
so
him being what he once
I,
was.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be better.
Joey
does Joey Bosa make him better? It doesn't
right,
make him worse.
Potentially,
right? Like
he,
that's it's
that kind
like,
of a player.
Even if it's in a limited role, he can disrupt the game.
It's not
going to
be worse.
Spots. I think it'll
so,
be
so. Yeah,
better.
Look, I think he. I think
Rick
he makes them
Bosa's
better.
Already hurt.
I would expect
I don't know
him
how
to be
much
hurt
better.
A lot
I don't know how,
this
can,
year.
How often he makes.
Talk to
them
me
better.
If he's helping them in January.
They,
that's really all I care about. They're going to make the
they
playoffs.
They just didn't lose.
Is
much
Joey Bosa
either,
a factor
right?
when they release
the Von Miller?
Is he a factor
Mac
when they potentially play the Chiefs and have a rookie left tackler? Whatever the situation
kind of is,
that's all
I think.
Need
as far
as
like key players leaving them,
they're going
to
get there whether he's hurt or whether he plays a snap in the regular season.
What can he do
Ravens,
for them in the playoffs?
Well,
and that's kind of what we're doing with
now.
All of these teams, right?
They, like, but they added players that
the
are
the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs. Like they're all going to be in
they
the postseason.
Kind of ran it back too.
So they are already.
What have
on
they
the
done or
Steph
not
Diggs.
Done that would put them over the
it
edge?
Didn't affect
then
them
we go
too
to
much.
The Ravens.
Josh Allen just won an MVP.
The Ravens,
so,
for whatever reason, can't get through
the
Chiefs.
I mean, I think they're going to be better.
Most
they add
better doesn't make them worse.
Again, D Hop, how much better is he going to make them?
It's
I don't know,
like
but he's not going to make him
situation
worse
for the Chiefs. Like, it's
right?
not going to be worse.
He becomes their number three receiver.
I think it'll be
I think
better.
He showed us enough last
Rick
year to believe
hurt.
In
I would
him
expect
as
him to
number
be hurt
three receiver
a lot this year.
I think the
talk
big question
to me if he's
is,
helping
is,
them in January.
Derrick Henry
that's really
replicate.
All I care about. They're going to make
can
the playoffs.
Henry replicated
is Joey Bosa
his age what he
they
did a year
the postseason?
Ago.
I would tell you
he
didn't
do anything a year ago to make you think he can't.
And have a rookie
other than the history of this league tells you that it's going
to
be a long shot, but
they're
going to
get there whether
he's
hurt or whether
he's not
like
snap in the
regular season.
He shouldn't have been that good last year.
What can he do for them in the playoffs?
Well, he wasn't supposed
and that's
to be,
what
right?
We're doing
by
with
all
NFL
of these teams,
NFL
right?
Standard.
Like, so
the Ravens, the Bills, like they're all going to be in the postseason.
I won't say he'll be better than he was a year ago. What have they done or not done that would put them over the
edge?
Then we go to the Ravens,
which is good enough. And again,
the Ravens, for whatever reason,
talk to me in January.
Get through the Chiefs,
right?
What it matters most.
What are these guys doing for you in January?
D-Hop, how much better is he going to make him?
Me on paper,
I don't know, but he's not going to make
the Bills ahead of the Ravens,
right?
Me too.
He becomes their number three
receiver,
but
it's,
I think he showed us enough last year.
I don't know. I think that honestly, the conversation to have three receiver. Well, like
I think
I said,
the big question
these
for them
teams,
is, can Derrick
Chiefs,
Henry
Bills, Ravens have kind of just been the big three of the
Henry
AFC.
Replicated
you know,
his age when he did a year ago.
The year that they were the,
I would tell you that he didn't do anything
but
a year ago to make you think
they
he
know
can,
that they've
right?
got
other than
a roster
the history
that's good
of this
enough
league
to go in a Super Bowl. And so I think that there's
a
lot of
shot,
staying pat. And you get as good as you can get without breaking everything up. And I think that they've done that.
Well,
I think the bigger conversation
be, right?
is who
by
might be the next
NFL standard,
the
so
next team to come make a jump in. You know, we saw the Commanders.
I won't say he'll be better
I think,
than
in
he
the
was
NFC.
A year
just
ago.
An example. I think the Commanders got better.
I think
they went to the
be
NFC Championship and they got better
as
this offseason.
Good.
So.
Which
they're a team that's going
to
be a ton of fun. I don't know who in the AFC
to me in January,
trying to do something
right?
like that. You know, obviously
these
the
guys
Bengals brought back everybody,
January?
So I could see them rejoining the mix.
I think the Bills
like
are probably
they can't be worse than they were last year with
the
roster that they have, as
Ravens
you keep saying.
Right now.
Other than that,
but it's
I'm not sure. I'm not sure who that's going to be.
I think
that honestly the conversation
they have maybe got a little worse.
Like I said,
but that's but they may have the room to do it.
Bills, Ravens have kind of just been the big three.
I don't
know. You can throw the Bengals in there.
I think they're still. I have no problem with them being the favorite. Detroit
they know that they've got a roster that's good
healthier.
Enough to go win a Super Bowl.
Detroit kind
of so
feels like
that there's
Kansas
a lot
City
of staying pat.
Like Detroit's
and you
not
get
gonna
as
be more
good as you can get without breaking everything up. I think that they've done that. I think the bigger conversation is who might
Detroit
be the next
is being I love
the next team
Detroit
to come make
a
jump
way,
in. You know, we saw the Commanders do that.
I really love
yeah,
I think
in the NFC just an example. I think the Commanders got better. I think they went to
the
NFC Championship and they got better
to regress a little.
Their team's gonna be a ton of fun. I don't know who in the AFC
up that high.
Like
I think
and
they're
the
most the
Bengals
likely
brought
to
back
progress.
Everybody, so I could see them rejoining.
Not
the Knicks,
not out of
like,
contention or anything like that.
They can't
like
be
I
worse
just,
than they were last
we'll
year
see.
With the roster that they have. As you keep
if
saying.
They can replicate what they did
that,
a year ago, the Niners.
I'm not sure who that is.
The Eagles. I think. I think the Eagles maybe got a little worse.
They got worse.
I don't.
But that's
how much
they
may
have
they have
to
just you know kind of get healthy. The Packers are
20.
I love the Rams at 22.
I think they're still. I have no problem with them being
continue to get better.
But I think you got to go even further than that when we talk.
And by the way,
Detroit kind of feels
the
like
Cowboys
City
are 60
to
one.
Like Detroit's not going
to
be more
at
injured.
Don't try to
I think there is a.
I
think there is at least a decent chance.
I think
that the
Detroit
Cowboys
being
finish
ahead
of the Commanders.
Detroit
in the
at
NFC
10 to one.
East.
By the way, with Dak Prescott back healthy,
I really like. I think the Commanders
chance.
Are probably.
I wouldn't say likely
the most.
And I know I'm a Cowboys fan.
How much
people listen to
the
show
of
know,
all
I
the teams
not been confident
that
were
Cowboys
are very up that high?
They lost
but
their offensive
I think they're
one.
The most likely.
What
to
makes you think
that's a,
what's your biggest?
Well, not
your
not
biggest
out of contention or anything like that. I just will.
They got Dak healthy.
If they can replicate,
Dak didn't play last
year ago. The Niners.
That's the big. I mean,
they got
a quarterback. And I'm not the biggest Dak
they
fan
got
in
worse.
The world, but the dude. Was
but how much room did they have
to
just you know kind
of
get healthy?
They got
the Packers
hurt.
Are 20.
They
I love the
back.
Rams.
They made
at
a coaching change.
To one. Like, I think the Rams
they,
probably
that should be enough to.
But I think you got to go even further
rattle the
than
cages
that
of
when
the
we
NFC
talk,
East.
And by the
think
way,
is a healthy Dak Prescott.
The Cowboys are 60
say
to
what
one.
You will about Dak, and I'm I,
just
I say
those
at this
things
too.
But
he's
good.
I think there is a
right?
I think there
he's
is at least
60
a
to
decent
one?
Chance
60
that
to
the
one?
Cowboys finish ahead. Of the,
I mean, they're like
are they like bottom 10
with Dak Prescott back?
3-6. No, they're bottom.
I wouldn't say
like bottom half.
And well, I know I'm a Cowboys fan, but
that one to me is the most surprising.
Not
that I think they're
going
to win the Super Bowl
in a very long
but
time.
60
but
60 to 1
is pretty wild.
What makes
pretty
you
wild.
Think
that's
what's your biggest
so
takeaway
anyway,
the Cowboys did?
That was just a quick aside.
They got Dak healthy.
I think the place to look
Dak
when
didn't
we look
play
at the
last
Chiefs.
Year.
At what
that's
could
that's the big I mean they got
a little bit
quarterback I I'm not
the
biggest
Chargers
Dak fan in the world but the dude was an MVP
how much better did the Chargers
couple of years ago
get? He got hurt
and how much will
they
that
got him back they made a coaching change
the positioning like, of the Chiefs they,
that should be enough to
shove
to because
to
when you look at the
rattle
Bills,
the cages of the NFC East
right?
I would think
the
is
Jets
a healthy Dak Prescott
are not going
Dak,
to be good.
I
the
say
Dolphins
too, but
probably
good.
Are not going to be
right?
very good, and the
he's
Patriots
healthy.
Are not going
60
to be very
to 1?
Good.
I have three
You're
words
looking at,
for you on
60
that.
To 1?
Mike Vrabel.
How low on
I mean,
the
they're
list
like,
are they? Are they like bottom 10?
Oh, Max, come on. I love
Vrabel.
Vrabel is one of my favorite coaches in the league.
Take off your rose-colored glasses.
That's... That one to me is the most surprising.
The
not that
you
I
got
think
your Hawaiian
win the Super
and
Bowl,
you're talking Beatles yesterday.
One is
like it's
pretty
wild.
Pretty wild.
The hippie movement.
Greatest rock and roll band ever.
So anyway,
That was just a quick aside.
The Patriots are not going to contend for much.
I think the place to look when we look at the Chiefs.
Be wild if I'm wrong, Max, but I don't think
pull them down a little bit.
The Ravens are in a pretty tough division. We'll see what
how much better did the Chargers and Broncos get?
Aaron
how much will that impact?
Did you see yesterday
the positioning?
I'll be out of the spotlight
when push comes to shove.
Because when you look at the Bills,
documentaries about himself,
right? The Jets. There is no world where you want to be
the Dolphins.
Probably are not going to be very good, and the Patriots are not going to be
very good. I have to imagine Mike. Is he really producing documentaries?
I don't think he's producing documentaries, but there's an Aaron Rodgers.
I love Vrabel. Vrabel's one of my favorite coaches in the league.
Take off your rose-colored glasses.
Let's let me double check that.
Yeah, you're the rosiest. You got your Hawaiian and you're talking Beatles yesterday.
I thought the Brazilian
hippie movement with
greatest rock and roll band ever.
No, the Patriots are not going to contend for much this year. I mean, obviously he's okay with
it. Be wild if I'm wrong, Max, but I don't think I am.
I don't know how to find
the
this.
The Ravens
guys,
are in a pretty tough division. We'll see what
anyway. There's a documentary about him coming out.
Aaron Rodgers, by the way,
where cameras
did
have
you see
followed
yesterday?
Him everywhere.
But I just, we, like, I'll be out of the
just
spotlight.
Just to get on and be like, yeah,
football.
Aaron Rodgers,
dude's
he's going to
produce documentaries about himself.
There's nobody that. More
is there is no world where you want to be out of the spotlight.
Not in the history of sports, maybe.
I've been waiting for you to bring up Aaron Rodgers.
Is he really
that was on the docket?
Is he really producing
documentaries? I don't think he's producing documentaries, but there's an Aaron Rodgers documentary.
I think he's a producer on that doc.
About the media to have a weekly segment on the noon slot on ESPN.
Let me double check
Pat McAfee every week.
It
doesn't seem like
we
can't move further past it.
The only thing Aaron Rodgers likes,
I thought the Brazilian
pretending like he doesn't like to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
And it's not even like you're not fooling anybody. Oh, okay. You're just going to.
I mean, obviously,
away.
He's okay.
We're never
going to
hear
it.
From you again. I don't think that's the case. Buddy.
I don't know how to find this fast, guys. I just saw it.
I was just
making
it was...
a documentary about.
Anyway,
yourself.
There's a documentary about him coming out.
Show it was. I was listening
where
to
cameras have followed
what does
him
this
everywhere.
Do for
but
the
can
Steelers?
We like? To get on
Mike
and be like, yeah, Aaron Rodgers,
he's
going to like step away
like,
from
oh,
the
well,
spotlight.
Now it's going to be
there's
Aaron Rodgers' farewell tour.
More passively aggressively loves
well,
the spotlight. They
still haven't had a losing
Aaron
record under Tomlin.
Like,
it's
in
like
the
they want to contend, and then it's like, well, now we're going to contend with this quarterback that's going to take his farewell tour.
Well,
like, are you happy?
And he loves pretending like he doesn't like
I mean, they didn't expect him to go past a year that always complains about the media to have
a
weekly segment on
the
noon slot on ESPN with Pat McAfee every week. It doesn't seem like they hate the media that much.
The only thing Aaron Rodgers likes more than being the center of attention is
like,
pretending like he
to
doesn't
say
like
they needed an upgraded quarterback.
Yeah.
I think
it's not even like
he's an upgraded
you're not fooling anybody
over what they've had.
Oh, okay, you're I mean, just going to step away. We're never
Russell Wilson
from you
was
again.
He
no,
had
I don't,
some
I don't
flashes,
think that's the case,
but
buddy.
Then it quickly came back down to earth. Aaron Rodgers.
I was listening.
A documentary about yourself.
I don't.
I was listening to somebody last night. I don't know what
Jets thought he
was
going to be
about.
Right.
What
initially brought him in pre-injury? But at his age,
Mike Tomlin
from the Achilles.
Coach
he
that
could,
he is, and
you know,
then it's like, oh well, now it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' farewell tour
away from the Achilles.
For a team that
it's still Aaron
well,
Rodgers.
They still
haven't
had
a
losing record under Tomlin, so it's like they want to contend, and then it's like,
older.
Well, now
they
we're going to contend
DK
with this
Metcalf
quarterback that's going to take his farewell
out,
tour.
Well,
like, are you happy if you're the Steelers?
Yeah, look, I think that the Steelers.
I mean, they didn't expect him to go past a year.
I think there is at least a small chance, if not a decent chance.
I don't know why they didn't
go a different direction to try to get better at quarterback.
I mean,
Will Howard's there.
What's he like?
Aaron Rodgers
to say they needed an upgraded
Howard.
Quarterback.
It's not a terrible
I think
situation
good
for Will
chance.
Howard.
He's an
honestly,
upgraded quarterback.
I think Aaron
over
Rodgers,
what they've had.
I mean, he
Russell Wilson
so
was
hard to figure,
he had
I don't
some flashes,
that,
but then it
I mean,
quickly came back down to
ever,
earth.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't terrible.
That I can
last
remember
year.
Unkind.
I don't
to
think he's
Love.
Going to be what
like he was
the
fine
Jets
with
thought
he
didn't
like
be.
That they drafted Jordan
right when
Love,
they,
but he
initially brought him in
Jordan
pre-injury
Love. At least
but at his age coming
heard.
Back from the Achilles, I think he
was to him.
He could be a little better.
That was a bad example.
Time away from the Achilles, it's still Aaron Rodgers.
He's going to
still a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He's going to help them.
Granted, a little bit older, but they brought in DK Metcalf.
Put up with everything.
Figure out.
Has
you know,
to be
TJ Watt and all
this.
Yeah,
time
look, I think that
the Steelers.
I think the question becomes the playoffs.
Does he help them
or for a playoff spot? Sure.
Does he?
Sure, they can.
No.
So
probably
I get
not,
it.
I don't know why they didn't I mean,
go a different direction.
Basically,
to
like,
try
does
to
he make him better than Russell Wilson?
Quarterback.
Will Howard's there.
He's a, I think there's a pretty
Aaron
good
Rodgers
chance
is probably going to be good for Will Howard.
It's
not a terrible situation for Will Howard, honestly.
But
I think Aaron Rodgers,
like after this, I'm
he's
like,
so hard to figure, but I don't know that. I mean, I don't think
I don't
he
think
was ever
that's true.
I think there's
he's
a lot
gonna,
of
he's
that I can remember
podcast,
unkind to Jordan
time.
Love.
Yeah, I think he was fine with Jordan Love. He didn't like that they drafted Jordan Love, but he wasn't a bad teammate to Jordan Love,
at least from anything I've ever heard.
The things that Brett Favre was are so interesting that nobody cares.
It's a bad example to follow.
It's documentary.
But I think so he's going to help Will Howard. He's going to help them win. You follow.
It's just like to put up with everything in their on KFH.
Well, after all this time,
shirt Wednesday still has not.
I think the question becomes: does he help him? I don't know that.
Does he?
Therese, you've been doing this a long time.
Probably not, but he makes him better.
I mean, basically, like, does he make him better than Russell Wilson?
What's the problem here?
There's a pretty good chance he does.
It's not a lock.
Like,
there's a pretty good chance.
They have become.
I get it.
Hip but again, right? For you young guys, after
they're
this,
kind of cool again.
I mean, I was rocking Hawaiians when they were very uncool, and then now everybody's kind of has.
I think that's true.
You gotta
have one in the back of my closet. I gotta find.
Podcast about politics and peyote and maybe a little football.
But honestly,
like just the things that he thinks people think are so interesting that nobody cares at all about. It's documentaries and then here, man.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
It's on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Shreya still has not.
It was a good day to do it. KU finally made a roster.
I don't know why.
Like they finally gave us something to talk about.
Shreya, you've been doing this a long time. Shreya's we've been rolling Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays for a year
SHR98 on X.
What's the problem here?
You
have to own a Hawaiian.
How did this get together?
They have become
a guy that was pretty
hip again,
out,
right? For you young guys, like they're kind of cool again. I mean, I was rocking Hawaiians when they were very uncool,
KU.
And then now everybody's kind of
Monday night, and he was.
You
like,
gotta have one, don't you?
I think I have one in the back of my closet. I gotta find it. I don't wear Hawaiian a lot. I'll wear a lot of knitted polos and stuff
like that.
Next
day, he announces Tuesday morning. I had a pre-written story ready with this thing.
I'm usually waking up about like that. 10 minutes before these radio guys wash my face.
Is a
and
big
then
get
into work.
For Kansas,
I appreciate you washing your face. I don't even know what a knitted polo is.
A guy that can play combo guard,
have
wing
a knitted
position
polo day
for them.
Here on
I think
the show.
Something they
we have
lack.
Hawaiian shirt Wednesdays.
He shoots really well from three.
It was a good day to do it. KU finally made a roster move. Like they finally gave us something to talk about.
Circuit, part of the Tree is a lot of
here. Our KU insider at SHRE98 on X. You can find all his work. KC Star.
Trius
Cole Rosario, what do we know? How did this come together?
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
to see
you know,
how
he was a guy
in,
that was
he's
pretty
a guy
highly sought out. Just visited Kansas last week. It's a big, very highly of KU. I talked to him Monday night, and he was like, "I'm coming to decision very soon." Soon, I'm like, "What is soon?" Miami was like, "This week for sure, soon."
UNC,
obviously, next day, you know,
this
is Tuesday morning.
This is
I have a pre-written story already with a few
in this
quotes of his and stuff like that. But
he's a guy that,
and I think
is
a lot
big
of needs
get
for
Kansas.
Kansas.
And he's
I
a guy
in
that,
the sense
you know,
of.
Was
in many reasons.
Top
he's a guy that can play combo guard, wing right position for them. I think
I
something
say,
they've lacked.
Into the
he shoots really well from three.
That.
He's shooting
sure
44%.
You know, the fact
in,
that he was getting offers to come play right now,
Paul,
so might as well not
you know,
wait.
Circuit,
what
know,
all
part of the
that?
AAU league right now. He's
yeah,
in right
so,
now.
I mean,
he was shooting well when he played Overtime Elite. And I think he shot well before he joined Overtime Elite at Moravian Prep.
Either 2026 or if you want
to it's
going to
be interesting to kind of see how he comes in. But he's a guy that really
probably
come to Kansas immediately
contribute,
you know.
It's
a big get for Kansas. He canceled his Duke visit. He canceled his upcoming Florida State visit, I think.
You know,
he's
he
a Miami
always
native.
In the back of his mind
big
of, like,
Kansas over Miami,
do
Duke.
It, you know, I just got to
UNC,
and
a bunch
and,
of other schools.
Obviously,
this is as big
stuff,
of a get I think you can get
I think,
in this summer.
He's
at
ready
this point
to
of the
play
summer.
College basketball,
and I think he fills a lot of needs
and,
for Kansas.
And I think he's
a
guy,
that
you know, if
was
all
a
goes well,
top 30 recruit
in
2026
the
reclass to join Kansas
two,
right now,
maybe three seasons.
I was gonna say what went into the reclassification. I'm sure you talked to him about that. I'm sure it was the fact that he was getting offers to come play right now, so might as well not wait. What all went into that?
Now he's the number one overall.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he had gotten a lot of buzz from various schools of
if all
we'll take you either 2026 or if you want to reclass, we'll take you to 2025. I think Kansas did a really good job of illustrating the need, you know.
that they need him out there, that there's going to be a clear role. And he was always ready. You know, he always had in the back of his mind of like, if I need a reclass, I can do it. You know, I just got to, you know, finish up some paperwork and you know, obviously finish up some school stuff. But I think he's ready to play college basketball. He's ready to contribute on this level. And I think he's a guy that, you know, if all goes well, he could be in the NBA after two, maybe three seasons, or maybe really two, you know, and we've seen it. These reclass guys, you know, they do well. Cooper Flagg, obviously, very different player, much better player, but he reclassed, and now he's the number one overall recruit. So we could see him go to the NBA. Probably a year earlier than he expected. If all goes well in like 2 years,
I think that they necessarily didn't do as good of a job.
Whenever you look at last year, this kind of player, do you think the group was very old for
the core outside of Flory?
It's not like a philosophy change. Kansas is going to be
really
young.
And obviously the two guys that's sitting on the bench, and Jamari.
I can't imagine Bill Self is making some sort of philosophical shift.
It seems like they've chased
to
a
young roster. I think it's just sort of coincidental, right? Like it just happens to be the way it is this year, or is there more to read into it?
And I think it happens to be the way it is this year because, I mean, let's call it what it is. If they'll be more excited to watch this generation, they're not bringing in on what we watched the freshman. They wouldn't have a freshman class of five. Corbin Allen, late pickup in the middle of the summer. You know, a guy that was not on those yards until, you know, the end of the season.
In my eyes, I don't see May or so. I
think the big thing with this group is they've done a good job of balancing young and old. I think that they necessarily didn't do as good of a job at
making
last year.
To say like,
I felt like the group was very old for the core outside of Flory.
More of an intention,
and obviously the two guys that sitting on the bench, Jamari and Amarco Jackson, who you know redshirted.
I think a little bit of both, right?
You know, it seems like they've chased the opportunity to build the team around Peterson. And I think that's the right way of doing things because he's an unworthy talent.
So,
however good or bad Kansas is this year,
obviously,
I certainly think they'll be more exciting to watch this iteration of basketball than what we watched the last 2 years with Hunter Dickinson, DeJuan Harris, and Coach Adams.
We just kind of talked about something before you came on here about the way that they've handled this offseason as compared to past offseasons. In my eyes, I don't see it as them saying, we're not going to go do the huge transfer portal route that we've done. I think it was just more so the fact of when they got Darren Peterson and realized they had a legit chance to get him, it was kind of just making their bed back then to say, like, we're not going to have enough money to go do that at this point in the transfer portal. Do you see it as that, or is this more of an intentional thing to say, we're going to go back to getting younger the way we used to?
Reading in between the lines of that,
I think a little bit of both, right? You know, Darren Peterson, his price tag allegedly is pretty high, you know, and I know Flory got a nice pay bump as well, so you factor that in after he comes back. So, you know, with the rev share thing, you know, I think obviously it's now slowly getting back into this thing, but you know, their roster is probably, I would presume, 10, 12 million I heard around that number. You know, what Kansas is paying, depending on what they're paying.
$500,000 more,
this could come in
at $1 million more.
But next year, right,
no matter how
Goff has said that from rev share, the Kansas will be in the top 10 percentile. What does he mean by that? He said he thinks it'll be 4.5,
you know,
5.5 million.
Where the roster,
and then we're not including whatever money coming in from NIL, but we can presume the money that Kansas is going to spend in its roster and any team on its roster next year will probably be less than what they're spending this year. And I think, you know, the reading in between the lines of that is, I don't think Kansas loved the fact that they were getting outbid on guys like Darren Williams for $4 million.
A lot better than
like, they're, you know, NC State coming in for $4 million was just something Kansas could not pay, A. And B, you know, I think this whole, we talk about it, you know, Kansas fans talk about the prestige and allure of Allen Fieldhouse. It's a clear, you know, recruiting factor. But the money thing, where if you're giving them $500,000 more, $1 million more, you know, kids are going to pick that, no matter how good or intriguing Kansas basketball is with its history.
To help out,
so I think, you know, they looked at where the roster was at last year. They looked at what they had to bring in. They realized they were at a little bit of a budget cap compared to a few years back. And, you know, there were some things that didn't work out that probably should have worked out. Damestar, Daniels, I know one of those, you know, at least one of those was heavily expected to join Kansas, and both of them didn't work out. getting picked. So it's been a lot of now you can swings and misses for Kansas this summer. But honestly, the roster's played out a lot better than I expected. And picking up Coles and, you know, this late in the summer is such a big deal, I think, for Kansas because he fits a big need. But he's also a young guy. I think he can kind of learn alongside Peterson and a lot of these other guys.
You told us they were looking for a shooting guard, basically. And that does like it's it. You were spot on with that. It doesn't seem like the biggest need, though.
Along with the shooting ability,
who's backing up the bigs, right? Like, who's coming off the bench right now to help out down low?
That's a very good question. I know they've been linked to Paul Mbaya from NC State. They've been linked to a couple of bigs from Europe, the Turkish big as well. I'm sure they'll pick up somebody. You know, the thing with this is there's going to be somebody, you know, that will end up getting picked up late. I think now you can convince them, like, okay, you can be your last roster addition, whatever. There will be somebody that will want to back up Florey, or that's a developmental big that they can give, you know, 10, 15 minutes a game to. The thing that I'm intrigued about with this pickup is he can play the wing. So I think the wing position is something they severely lacked. And he has incredible athleticism. You know, he's like a 45-inch vertical, et cetera. You know, like that was given bounce along with the shooting ability is something that Kansas is going to enjoy, I think.
All this stuff is settled. So these guys will be
I think to see how things play out with a big, I think obviously they probably bring in somebody, but I've been thinking about it more. I don't necessarily think it's a horrible idea to have a guy like Tiller or Calderon backing up Florey, maybe play small a little bit if things don't work out. But I presume a big will be added in the next year, because they'll know how much
they should be spending. Back to the revenue sharing thing. So just to shine some more light, because nobody ever really knows what's going on with the new rules and when they're happening and everything. So is the assumption that it's going to not go into effect for this coming season's roster, but it'll be the year after, correct?
It's into effect. Every you know, I was told, Goff told me that every person, like even on football end of things, they had a basically like there was no like amount that was given, but it was presumed that there would be a certain money that would be coming in from rev share once all this stuff was settled. So these guys will be getting rev share. The thing about it is, though, the way Kansas has constructed his roster, it's not built around rev share at the moment. It's built around NIL and rev share, and obviously it will be next year. But I think Kansas will be a lot more strict with its budget and kind of be accordingly based on data and trends of the market next year, because they'll know how much they should be spending. I mean, I think Memphis's AD came out and said if Kansas' reported number that we came out with or whatever, what Goff said, is correct, they're spending that same thing. And that might be true, but I'm not sure Memphis is getting the NIL money that Kansas is getting. And that's where the gap can kind of go up and down depending on what happens with the clearinghouse.
So that's the part – sorry, Jacob. Well, the NIL on top of the rev share now with the clearinghouse. So, like you were saying, like they built this $10 million basketball roster off of NIL, some of these people have. So, does that get cut down to the $6 million that the rev share budget has, and then the rest has to go through the clearinghouse? Are they going to have to pay less when all this starts happening, or is it kind of just like stacking on top of each other? How does that work? That's part of the
I think right now it's stacking on top of each other, but next year I bet you they will pay less. I mean, I asked Goff, and he kind of said the quiet about it a lot. I'm like, these guys that are getting $4 or $5 million to be starters on, you know, college teams to transfer or whatever, Darren Williams is an example, will that be cut in half or three-fourths, you know, at least their rev share? He was like, yeah, I think that's a pretty good assumption. So guys like Darren Peterson, who's making allegedly $6 million, or AJ DeBonso, who's making allegedly $8 million, these guys will not be making that from rev share, I can tell you that much, next year, if they were still around. Obviously, they'll be gone, they'll go to the NBA, but the money for them will have to come in through clearinghouse. And the clearinghouse NIL clearinghouse thing right now for me is, I think it's going to be the minute somebody gets a evaluation they don't like, they're going to end up suing the NCAA. So that's another thing we have to watch.
It is. Cooper Flagg had a New Balance deal. That's not going to be everywhere, but how do you know which one's which? Shreyas Lada, KC Star, KU Insider. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Thank you for the insight. Go find all his work at the KC Star. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that's going to do it for Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Royals tonight, 6:40 against Tampa Bay Rays. They look to bounce back. We'll have coverage of that tomorrow as Jacob and I are back here on Sports Daily. See you there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.